to the book of Lamentations. Not a book that a whole lot of people ever read or turn to. And let me encourage you, if you have a Bible, turn to it. And what I wanted to do, when I was sitting there this morning, I was reminded of two things. One, I was reminded of how long I've been a Christian. I don't know why, every now and then a thought comes back to my mind. And I've been saved for 36 years now, which is phenomenal to me that the Lord's grace has kept me this long. And I was also remembering this morning the importance of God's Word. I love having it electronically. It's great for people who don't have a Bible. But please get to a place where you always have your Bible with you. It's really important. I'm just going to share a few thoughts. Devotionally, I try to read through the Bible once a year. And then I do my regular Bible study and all the different things I do. In my devotional reading this week, I've been reading through the book of Lamentations. And there was a verse that I'm going to get to in a minute that was really kind of one of those times you know the Lord's kind of prompting your heart and prodding you. Important thing about Bible study, a couple things about it. You have to know who's writing it, who it's being written to, what's going on at the time it's being written. I was trying to think of all the things that are important to me when I study, kind of culturally what's going on. And then I try to parallel it. I can't tell you, I don't want to stretch scripture to fit, but I try to parallel it to fit the church today, globally, locally. And then I try to look at how it fits the world. And then the most important, how it fits me. Lord, what are you saying to me? I don't try to come to the Bible. There's eisegesis and the other one, exegesis. I don't try to bring stuff to the Bible. I try to pull it out. So this book was written by Jeremiah, who is known as the weeping prophet. It was written right before the Babylonian captivity. Babylon was going to come over and take over Israel and Judah, and they were going to be captive for 70 years. It was written at a time, Jeremiah had a rough life. Boy, if you could think of what that guy went through. But he was constantly a voice to speak out against the sin and the apostasy and the backsliding of the nation of Israel. Today, we need to recognize that message for ourselves and not allow ourselves, no matter what the situation is, to be taken away, to be drawn back. So as we read these couple verses, you get a feel for it. And you look at the church, look at America, look at all that. We're going to start at verse 1. And the book of Lamentations, by the way, we'll share this with you, means deep sorrow, deep regret, heavy mourning. This is not a book you read and come away lighthearted. There are pockets of the grace of God peppered throughout it, but it's a book that Jeremiah wrote grieving for the nation of Israel. It's almost what you would read or hear at a funeral. That's what you might see there, something like this. It says in verse 1, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people. She has become like a widow who was once great among the nations. She who was a princess among the provinces has become a forced laborer." That's Israel, God's love, the apple of God's eye. Jump down to verse 5. It says, "Her adversaries have become her masters. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord has caused her grief. Because of the multitude of her transgressions, her little ones have gone away as captives before the adversary." When I look at America today, here's where I apply this. When you look at how we were talking last night, each generation continues to get further and further away. Now the generations are so relationally crippled. No relationship at all. It's all that stupid phone, back and forth, texting, all that. You know that. There's no relation. So think a little bit ahead how easy it will be when the Lord gets ready to come back and the persecution hits the church. Think how easy it'll be for people sitting behind a phone to say it's okay to kill that group of Christians, or it's okay to do that, because they have no connection, not at all. They've gone captive. So you got to kind of look and say, what happened back here? What's going to happen up in the future? Verse 8, "Jerusalem sinned greatly. Therefore, she became an unclean thing. All who honored her despise her, because they've seen her nakedness. Even she herself groans and turns away." Now, when you look at that, Jerusalem sinned greatly. She became unclean before God. In the word picture you see in verse 9, it says her uncleanness was in her skirt. What that means is her menstrual period it's the picture of a menstrual period flowing down out of her skirt to see how unclean she was no longer allowed to fellowship with God. That's what sin does. That's how sin just puts you that far away. But we're coming to a good point. I'm not going to leave it this down. It says in verse, after that, her uncleanness was in her skirts. She did not consider her future. Therefore, she has fallen astonishingly. She has no comforter. See, O Lord, my affliction, for the enemy has magnified me. Where I got stopped at was where it said she did not consider her future. And I'm thinking, as the Lord prompted my heart, do I consider my future? Do I consider where I stand today? Do I consider who I am at work? Bob and I, when we're together, or Clinton and I, we always talk about people that we knew in the body that are no longer there, or how, and I don't want to minimize anything, how pain or suffering or trial almost destroys people, some people in the body of Christ. There are others that go through things that just magnificently walk through them, and I try to understand why. I think it all boils down to, are we considering our future? My friend who just got diagnosed with bone cancer, strong believer, he's not set back by it. Now, he's not thrilled. He's not thrilled. He doesn't know the outcome. But he knows that no matter if he lived to be 100 years, something's still going to kill him. He's going to die of something unless we live long enough for Jesus to pull us out of this planet. I challenge you this morning, consider your future. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what's happening around us, consider Jesus coming back. Consider that where you stand today, if it's good, bad, or indifferent, the Lord's coming back. And it could be in 15 years, it could be in 5 years, it could be in 20, I don't know when. And I keep wavering back and forth on pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. It doesn't really matter. What matters is, Lord, am I considering you enough that I know where I'm at, where I know where I'm standing? Because sin will destroy you. Sin will destroy me. And there's not one of us in here. What prompted some of this, I had the opportunity to attend a Catholic funeral, Bob, about 2 weeks ago. And it was painful, heartbreaking, because every error you could think of was brought forth. They brought very clearly, the priest there said that this, my dad's girlfriend had passed away, that she had to go into purgatory for a little bit because she hadn't suffered enough on the planet in order for her to be right before God. I mean, these things, when I think about them and think, God, how do you read this Bible and walk away with that? But I want to read a verse in Lamentation chapter 3. It's not all dire, because Israel came out, the Lord redeemed them, the Lord worked with them. But if you look at Lamentation chapter 3, and even in the midst of all that pain, all that suffering, which they brought on themselves, sin will cause aggravation, grief, and pain in your life. It will. Nobody's going to be kind of shielded from it. But in Lamentation chapter 3, here's where Jeremiah, as he's writing, I get the impression he gets this revelation. He gets this understanding of God's heart. And in verse 19, he says, remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. So what I'm saying is, the Spirit of God got into his heart and convicted him, and he was bowed down. And in that place of repentance, that place of calling out to God for his forgiveness, he sees this. He says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's a song, by the way. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of God. So in the midst of this book, where Jeremiah is bringing forth these deep regrets and deep sorrows, the Spirit of God grabs his heart, convicts him of where they're at, and then the light breaks forth. I don't know if you've been there. I have. When I've had sins in my life where I've had a block between me and the Lord, And then when that's relieved because of true repentance and true cleansing, my heart's opened up and I see that. I was going to read some other verses. I'm not, because I want Clinton to get up here. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says there to consider Christ. So I will tell you, everything in this Bible, whether you read Lamentations, whether you're reading the book of Ezekiel, whether you're reading the Gospel of John, it all speaks of Christ. Allow him to grab your heart today. If there's sin in your life, get before the Lord and allow him to cleanse it and move on from it. Because his joy, his grace, it's new every single morning. When I woke up today, there was a fresh supply. I had joy in the Lord. There was a fresh supply of grace. If I sin today and I repent, tomorrow there's a new supply. Amen.